The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam, consultation, just $25. Now, it has been an interesting several weeks, and if you are alive, you know what I'm talking about, right? That pesky little virus that has been around, that has now created a worldwide pandemic. And quite honestly, like, if I could be really, really candid about it, we've done videos in the office, we've talked to patients, I've heard a ton on it. Like, I'm tired of hearing about it. It's exhausting. You know, you can't hop on any social media platform. You can't turn on the television if you go to a news station without hearing about it. It's tiring. But here's what I'm going to tell you, is that your mindset is everything, right? And no, I'm not saying like a positive mindset is going to make it so you don't get the virus, right? So don't take that out of context. But I do think that we should address it. And in that regard, that's why we are going to talk a little bit today about, one, not only what is the coronavirus, but more so I want to talk about like your mindset of that, but the strength of the immune system, right? So we're really going to give you some very specific key action steps that you can do to help strengthen yourself, right? As the host, like, what can you do proactively? Because sometimes when all of this happens, like, the biggest fear that we experience is we feel like we're just sitting ducks, right? We just feel like, I'm just going to wait and see what happens to me. Like, am I going to be one? Is it going to be me? When in reality, there's so many things that you can do in order to strengthen your immune system, to be healthy and strong, to make it so that if you came into contact or are going to come into contact with this virus, any virus, your immune system is so strong. So we're going to give you some key tools that you can take away today to be able to do that, right? And so typically now, if you've ever listened to the show Maximize Your Life, I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, you know that this is where we go through health in the news. And honestly, we've been doing this show for like 7 years now. Can you guys believe that? If you've been listening, can you believe that we've actually been on air now for over seven years? Isn't that crazy? It's like you blink and you're just like, oh my goodness. I think I've only not done health in the news like a handful of times because there's always something to talk about in the news, but the news apparently is the only thing that we're talking about. I honestly have had to take a bit of a break from time on social media because I realized that I would come out, feel refreshed, and then I would hop on, right? What's going on social media platforms today? And I'd hop on one and I'd scroll through and then my stomach would start to hurt. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. And then I would look at some of the other things that, you know, my more naturally minded friends, colleagues, more specifically, are posting. And I'm like, well, this isn't what the media, right? The general media wanted us to think at all. And so, I mean, first and foremost, I think, you know, our health in the news is just, you've been on the news. So maybe there's a point that I can encourage you just to step back a little bit. Just step back. Gosh. So what is coronavirus, right? We all know it's a virus. That's not surprised. So according to the CDC, They report illness range of mild symptoms, which can be a fever, cough, or shortness of breath. Right? It can become more severe in terms of difficulty breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, confusion, bluish lips or face. And then, of course, the severity of some of those can lead to death. And I think that's where the big fear comes into play, right? Like no one is like, you know what? I would like to die. You know, like it's just one that we wake up being healthy and well, and we just expect that, right? And so here's what you have to understand is that more recently, I think I saw in the United States that the latest death toll for coronavirus was 100, right? And that was like an epic, epic thing. Like we've reached 100 and we don't know where it's going now. And I can't believe it's 100. And it really got me thinking, right? And first and foremost, I want to acknowledge that, like, yes, this is a problem. It's a new virus. Most of us are not immune to it. Just like, you know, every flu season, we see a new strand of flu. And we're not immune to that. Which is why the flu vaccine is just a guessing game. Right? So I want to acknowledge that, like, yes, that is 100 deaths, 100 people's lives have been taken, 100 families have been affected in that regard. In the United States, right? 100 in the United States. And it seems like a lot. It does, until you really put a perspective on some of the other things like cancer. So in terms of cancer, do you know yesterday alone, 1,662 people died of cancer? 1,662. Do you know with cardiovascular disease, heart disease? Do you know on an average year, 841,000 approximately people die from cardiovascular disease, 607,000 die from cancer. So on average per day from cardiovascular disease, yesterday, today, 2,303 people will die. 2,303. Like, does that put it in perspective a little bit? I don't know. For me, it was just one of those like, okay, the top disease killers in the United States. And a lot of the time people say, well, you know, that's their lifestyle. But here's the thing, when you look at cardiovascular disease, cancer, most of the people, majority of the people who have died from coronavirus have had a pre-existing condition like cardiovascular disease or cancer. Most of the people who are passing away are immunocompromised, right? Those are the elderly population. And I'm not talking like people in their 50s, 60s, 70s. I'm talking about people in their late 80s, 90s who are in assisted living, who are in memory-based care. People who are there for a reason because their health is already compromised. Their health is already compromised. So that is one where when you look at, even with the flu, people don't die typically as a primary from the flu. They die as a secondary. I had a patient who had a liver transplant, right? So he was on medication that helped him not reject his liver. So it depleted his immune system. So his immune system didn't attack this liver. Well, he also spent 9 weeks in the hospital. This was about 2 years ago with the flu. 9 weeks in the hospital because he was immunocompromised, right? And so we have this like great fear. And I understand where that's coming from. And so much of it is just the fear of death. You know, I had a friend ask me, this is before, you know, all the cruises were canceled. And she said, you know, my family and I, we have a cruise scheduled. And it was her husband, and her five kids. I think they range from like 10 to 21, 22 now, 11 to 22. I don't know. They're like older middle kids, middle-aged kids. Is it middle of the kids range? Not like middle aged. Anyways, they're like, I don't know, 10 to 12 to like 20 to 22. I've known them for like 10 years. I forget how old they are. And she had this cruise scheduled and she said, oh my goodness, should we go on it? And I was like, how's your immune system? But she said, fine. I'm like, well, you know, and I understand quarantine and like, I understand social distancing. I understand the concept of it 100%. And I believe that's helpful. But it's just like anyone. If you put 100 people in a room and one person has the flu or one person has the chicken pox and that one person sneezes and sprays spit and viruses all over, you know, who gets it and who doesn't? It's the people with the weaker immune systems. It's just the people with the weaker immune systems. You know, I understand that at a time like this, like the best thing, in my personal opinion, that we can do are to control the things that we can control. You can't control everything in life. We can control the things that we can control, and we can't control the things that we can't. It sounds like this most simplistic, novice thought process. Control the things that you can control, right? And so it's like, what can we control, right? And a lot of the things, you know, have been controlled for us. So we've got, you know, we can't sit down for restaurants and like, okay, cool. You know, a couple weeks. My hope is that we like pick our heads up and it all passes. But you look at like what's going on with immune systems. And so what's interesting is that one of the greatest things that depletes your immune system is fear. Stress and fear is a huge, huge antithesis to strengthening your immune system, right? It depletes it, it decreases it. And so we think about when we live in this terrifying model of fear, what can we do? What are we able to do? And one is, and this is where I kind of talked a little bit earlier, we just have to step back. You know, are you feeding into this fear mongering? Like, I think it's appropriate to address it. I do, 100%. We have to address it. This is happening. I acknowledge that it's happening, right? But my family and I are doing everything that we can to take proper precautions. And most of those are to say, hey, our focus is not going to be on the strength of the germ. It's going to be on the strength of the host. That's our focus, is how do we strengthen the host, not putting all of our fear and focus on the strength of the virus, you know? So how do we strengthen the host? How do we get to that regard that we can say, hey, our immune system is going to be ironclad to be able to do that, you know? And that's oftentimes kind of the first step. Where do we go in that regard? When we come back, we're going to talk about not only things to remove from your daily life, but things to add in addition to help start strengthening the host and building a titanium immune system next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today we're doing it, talking about COVID-19, coronavirus. It's the one and only time you'll hear me talk about it. I'm tired, you're tired, we're all tired. So let's just figure out how to really, like we talked about it earlier, I acknowledge that this is a problem, right? And let me give you an example of how it's affecting our lives. You know, my grandmother right now is severely immunocompromised because she is going in, she's had chemotherapy, she has cancer. I was like, I'm not really sure that she wants me to share with everyone what kind of cancer. But anyways, right, like she has cancer. And she's about ready to go through this massive protocol that they're doing. She's staying with family in Chicago because she can't bear it by herself. She lives in Florida. Literally, this is one where they're going to blast her with a massive amount of chemotherapy. They've taken out her white blood cells. They supercharged her T lymphocytes. She's going to be in there for 3 weeks. And as of a couple of months ago, when we started this process, it was that we could go in and visit her throughout. And now with everything that's happening, basically the rules I was informed of as of yesterday is that we can go, anyone can go and see her on the first day that she gets in there. But once you leave the hospital, you can never come back. So it's not like people can go in and visit. So if you want to be there for, you know, the end of her 3 weeks, you have to be there, not leaving the hospital for 3 full weeks. And I understand the concept of this, right? Because she's severely, severely immunocompromised. So guys, I get it. I get it. And we're doing our best. And that's why we're not going to go visit her. I've got two little kids. One of the little boogers has a fever right now. You know? And I only laugh at his little fever. He's got a low grade. It's like 100, 101. Maybe it's fluctuated back and forth. And he's got a little bit of a bellyache, you know, just a virus. To him, it's a virus. His body will fight it just fine. You know, to my grandmother, that might be something that kills her. So, of course, you know, immunocompromised, it's a big deal. And I'm speaking from the heart when I say that. What's really interesting, though, is that I see just the fear mongering of a family member who's just very, anyways, ugh. I love them. You ever have that? I love my family. Those of you who know why I'm saying it so many times, because you reaffirm it to your brain, because you speak it into existence. But I'm like, hey, you know, little guy's got a fever, and they're like, you should go get him tested for corona. I'm like, oh, he's fine. Like, he's playing. He ate breakfast this morning. He has a fever. His little immune system's fighting, like, hard. And what's interesting is that I didn't know that the rate of false positives is so high. So this was a research study that was done March 5th, 2020. It is a very foreign journal name. But here's what they looked at. They looked at as the prevention and control of COVID-19 continues to advance. They've tried to advance or create this active test screening in the close contacts of patients that have been carrying out many parts of China. But the false positives of these screenings are through the roof. So what they found is that when the infection rate of close contacts and sensitivity and specificity of reported results were taken, the positive predictive value of the active screening was only 19.67%. In contrast, the false positive, right? False positive means someone tests positive, but that's not true. They don't really have it. It's false. It's not really positive. It's false positive. The false positive rate results were 80.33%. So they said basically in close contact of COVID-19 patients, nearly half or even more than half of the asymptomatic affected individuals, right, the carriers of them, reported that the active screenings might be false positives, far higher than we expected. Incredibly interesting. It was really interesting. Right. So, yeah, I get it. There's positives. There's real positives. Smaller percentage. So when you say, oh my gosh, all these people are they really positive? Yeah, y'all. So what are some things that we can avoid? Right? Besides the obvious, like licking surfaces. I saw. Listen to this. I literally saw yesterday, there's some sort of like, it's like a YouTuber or like a, who are the people that are like popular because they post things on social media? Like influencer, like one of those, right? Who licked a toilet seat in an airplane to prove a point of some sort. Like, right? How about we not do that? Like, to me, that's just common sense. Like, don't lick areas. Don't lick other people. Cover your mouth. Wash your hands, right? Like, ugh. Don't touch your face. Yeah, get it. Because why your face? Because there's so many open orifices that can travel in terms of virus. Eyes, nose, mouth, ears. Oh, okay. What's another thing? Because we've been talking about this. But what about what you eat? Can what you eat have an effect on your immune system? And the answer, 100%, like I said earlier, let's control the things that we can control. Let's focus on the things that we can control. Let's focus on the strength of the host. Become an undesirable environment. Again, my analogy, how come I can have the flu? Again, I acknowledge it's a different strand of virus. But how come I can sneeze on one person and another? One person gets sick and the other one doesn't. Why? Because it's their immune system. Someone's immune system stronger than the other. And so when you talk about sugar, excess sugar depresses the immune system. Right? So when you're like, hey, let's quarantine. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have soda and cookies and all of these things, right? Ice cream. I'm emotional. So you're more likely when you come into contact with whatever bacteria or virus, whatever it is, you're more likely to get it now because your immune system's depressed. So the studies have actually shown that between 75 to 100 grams of sugar, so about 20 teaspoons, can suppress the body's immune response. So what they looked at in this research study is they looked at simple sugars. So they included glucose, table sugar, fructose, and honey. I want to say orange juice. Yes, orange juice is another one. So it's an oral ingestion of carbohydrates from glucose, fructose, sucrose, honey, and orange juice. And what they found is that all of them significantly decrease the capacity of neutrophils to engulf bacteria as measured by the slides. Starch ingestions didn't have the same effect. So what they found was that 50% reduction. So neutrophils. Was like, what are neutrophils? Right? That's a good question. Neutrophils are the most common type of white blood cells. So they comprise about 50 to 70% of all white blood cells. And they are phagocytic, which means that they can actually ingest other cells, right? So neutrophils are the first immune cells to arrive at the site of an infection. So think about this, right? If you knew nothing about it and I said, hey, neutrophils are the first responder, they're the first immune cells that arrive when you come into contact with a bacteria or virus, right? You have that infection. They are fast acting and they arrive at the site of infection within an hour. Right? Your body's so smart. So do you think that as an individual, as a host, do you want more or less of those? Because I would think more. I would think that I want all my neutrophils to be ready to go, to stand at attention, to be 100%. But you want to know what? When you're, and a lot of the times too, we think, oh my goodness, right? We're drinking orange juice because it has vitamin C. We want to strengthen the immune system. But the amount of vitamin C is really little in comparison to the amount of sugar that's in there. Same thing. Like, what about honey? Oh, yeah, we've got to get that. But again, 175 to 100 grams decreases it by 50%. So what can you do? What can you control? What can you be proactive about? Stop consuming excess sugar. I had a patient the other day. He said, What are you changing? You wonder what I said? Nothing. We're just doing more immune supporting stuff. But this is something that we don't do. Like, yeah, that thing of ice cream, that special cookies, the all of those things. Stop eating excess sugar. Another one too that's really interesting is we think about sleep. And I know this, right? Because sometimes people are afraid of the virus and other times people are afraid of the aftermath. Right? What does that mean in terms of childcare? If you're a small business owner, if you work out in the service industry, right? In terms of like food service, it's a huge impact. I am a small business owner, right? Like I understand this, but here's what I can tell you. So that stress where you're not sleeping right, it affects your immune system. It affects your immune system and it's huge. So understanding the link between sleep and immunity is hard. Right? Because not getting enough sleep has been linked to a laundry list of not only mental and physical health problems, including that stem from impaired immune system. So our immune system, right, is we understand immune system. But when it's not functioning and it fails to do its job, you become more apt to have these flus and colds, bacteria and virus. So the immune system is incredibly complex. So a lot of studies have shown that our T cells are decreased if we're sleep deprived. And our inflammatory cytokines go up. So basically, all of the inflammation markers go up, your immune system goes down, and this actually leads to a greater risk of developing cold or flus. And sleep deprivation suppresses the immune system. So the more you go through and you're not sleeping, you're trying to pull all-nighters, the more likely you are to decrease your body's ability to respond to colds, viruses, or bacterial infections. Here's what's also super interesting. And I told you that one of my kiddos more recently has been working on a fever. And we allow fevers to play its course. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to my podcast about how we embrace fevers, how it actually increases other white blood cells to limit the duration of an infection. But one of the things that happens is that when we sleep, it allows for our body to better fight infections. And it does it through the fevers. So they talk about this is why fevers tend to rise at night. But if we're not sleeping, our fever reaction is not prime, so we may be waging war on infections as best we can. Which is so interesting, because the other night, little guy, I don't even know, I couldn't find the thermometer, because I have a almost 3 and a 1.5-year-old, so like, I can't find anything ever. And so I just kind of have to do the like, where do I think we're at? I've had, you know, long enough that we can kind of guess. And so, it was like low grade. He was kind of warm, playing, went to bed, got up a couple hours later, went to bed at like 7:30, got up at like 10:30, 11 to come down and lay with me. And he was pretty warm. Like I would say he's probably like 102, 103. So I'm like, oh, wow. Like this isn't the way I left you. And it goes to say, you know, what's fighting even more is when he was sleeping. The fever was going up to fight more. Sleep is important. And you know what decreases our ability to sleep well? Stress. This is one I encourage you. You know, they talk about social isolation. What if we did social media isolation? Media isolation. What if you did that for just a day? What would your mindset be like? How would you think differently? What if you weren't looking at social media right before you went to bed? Do you think you'd sleep differently? And I can just speak from a personal standpoint, and my answer is yes. So. But there are things that we're doing to add on, to do in addition to boost our immune system so we can have that titanium strong. I will give you some exact key points when we return.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Coronavirus. Can't help but maybe just a big sigh. I'm tired. It's just, let's do this, right? We talked about it. We've acknowledged it. We understand it. We get it, right? Let's talk about how we strengthen our immune systems. Because really, when push comes to shove, that's what we talked about. The people, the 100 people who have died, majority of them are all immunocompromised. All of them. So they've had a pre-existing in majority of those cases, whether it be diabetes, heart disease, cancer. Think about how many people pneumonia will kill. And most of those are because they're immunocompromised, right? So really, like we talked about, we're going to focus on the things that we can control. One thing that we can control, the mass hysteria with paper toilet. Toilet paper. It's all the same. I feel like I've had like a good solid couple sips of coffee and it still hasn't helped. It hasn't kicked in yet. Like what can we control? The things we can control. One thing that I tell you, and people are so unaware. They're so unaware. People think that chiropractic is for pain. Headaches, neck pain, back pain. They're so unaware of the benefit of chiropractic that is asymptomatic. Meaning you don't feel it. Like, you don't feel it. So what are some of the things? Get adjusted. Let's talk about research. Not just like I think, which, by the way, I do think is awesome. I had a colleague. This is posted on our Facebook page, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. It was posted on our Facebook page that we literally had, I had a colleague who went and got blood work taken, had an adjustment, 35 minutes following adjustment, had the same panel of blood work, and you saw a substantial increase in his white blood cells. Your immune system. White blood cells are your immune system. Right? And so what's really great is that the groundwork for a lot of these even more recent papers have been established back in the early 1990s. This is when it started. Yet a more recent study actually talked about how an upper thoracic adjustment, right? So upper thoracic is like upper back, kind of between the shoulder blades, resulted in markers indicating significant increase and phagocytic activity of neutrophils and monocytes compared to the sham or fake adjustment, soft tissue treatment, right? We literally just talked about neutrophils and what they are. Neutrophils are 50 to 70% of your immune systems, and they are your first responders, typically within an hour of coming into contact with a bacteria or virus. So you have that infection. Your neutrophils are the people, like the people, the little cells that go to and engulf and kill. They literally like eat up the bacteria, the virus, the infection. We talked about how sugar depletes that by 50%. But you know what increases that? A chiropractic adjustment. An upper thoracic adjustment. Right. And another study, they concluded that spinal manipulation adjustments elicited a viscerosomatic response that affected both neutrophils and mononuclear cells, at least over the short period. They also concluded, another author studied on in 1994 showed that an upper cervical adjustment, the very, very top of your neck, increased your CD4 helper T cell counts exponentially by 48%. Over a 6-month duration of the study. What? So you look at, you know, and actually what they studied when they looked at these CD4 helper cells were patients that were HIV positive. You know what HIV is? It's a virus. What? So when people are like, oh, headaches, neck pain, and back pain, I'm like, man, if you still think that chiropractic is just about headaches, neck pain, and back pain, you haven't been educated about your body's ability and potential and health reserve of the immune system. They talked even more, right? They talked about how following an adjustment, that an adjustment actually reduced pro-inflammatory cytokinase. So just talked about how, hey, you want to know why you get sleep? Because it increases those. Not only does it, a lack of sleep decreases your immune system, an increase of sleep, right? What about increasing adjustments? So you can actually, they looked at blood pre and post intervention, i.e. pre and post adjustments, and they measured blood samples, detecting interleukin-6 and C-reactive proteins after a series of 9 chiropractic adjustments from T12 to L5. So a little bit below bra strap line to the base of the lower back. And once again, they found that there was a reduction in inflammatory processes and an increase in immune system. So I was like, what if we could? Like, so people are like, well, why are you getting adjusted? Yeah, you know what? I've adjusted my kids extra. I've gotten adjusted extra. My team's got adjusted extra. We are doing everything that we can. So if there's any viruses around, right? Our immune system, those neutrophils are like, they're standing guard. They're like, an hour, I don't even need an hour. Bring it on, right? That's something I can control. Very much so. get adjusted extra. I can't tell you how many people have been in the office for wellness. Majority of our practice is a wellness-based practice because they understand. And I'm telling you right now, just immune response to spinal manipulation, just immune response to adjustments, this has nothing to do even with the increase in blood flow, your vital lung capacity, FEV and FVC. When it comes to lung capacity, like this is just a small portion of a benefit, asymptomatic benefit. Something you will never feel in terms of increasing immune system. But stress, right? They looked at a 5-week study following chiropractic adjustments, and they found that it greatly decreased salivary cortisol. So hormones, stress hormones that's in your spit is basically what it means. Greatly decreased. Changing nothing else but being adjusted. Guys, it's more than headaches, neck pain, back pain. So what else? What else have we been doing extra of? Vitamin C. Now, this is one I will be very candid in terms that not all vitamin C is created equal. Vitamin C is one that I actually have in my kind of supplement routine all the time. But I've increased it more throughout these last several weeks. So yes, you can get vitamin C from fruits and vegetables. I think that's awesome. The amount of vitamin C that I have been doing, I could not consume from just fruits and vegetables. Like for example, there was some kiwi, 1 cup of kiwi, which is probably, I would assume about a kiwi and a half, is 164 milligrams. 1 cup of strawberries is 89 milligrams. Grapefruit is 71. Oranges, 1 cup of oranges is 95 milligrams. So again, it's fine. You know, when you look at kind of the recommended daily allowance, the RDA, for someone who's 19 years and older, they said 90 milligrams is daily for men, 75 for women. So sometimes we think we're getting enough, but it's not. Your body needs more. Your body needs more. One study even found that a vitamin C deficiency was detected in 7 out of 10 patients with inactive Crohn's, even though 4 had had an adequate intake of vitamin C. Right? So even though you have the adequate intake, that doesn't mean that's all your body needs. So we look at why am I increasing my vitamin C? One, it holds powerful antioxidant properties. So that's why I take it all day, every day. Because it helps fight disease-causing free radicals. It minimizes oxidative stress and damage to my cells. It helps prevent anemia. So vitamin C can enhance iron absorption to prevent iron-deficient anemia. This is a kind of super big deal. Especially iron deficiency is very, very common in women who are of childbearing age. Women who still have menses. Right, because you're losing blood every month. So iron deficiency is very common. More so now what we're talking about is its ability to boost immune system, immune health. And so loading up on vitamin C is often used as a first line of defense during cold and flu season. So there was a review published in the Annals of Nutrition and Metabolism that showed that getting enough vitamin C may help reduce symptoms and shorten the duration of respiratory tract infections. Such as not only the common cold, but guess what corona is? It's a respiratory tract infection. It's a lower respiratory tract infection. Vitamin C. Plus, it may also decrease the incidence of conditions like pneumonia, malaria, diarrhea, and the common cold. Oh, right? So how do we take vitamin C? So this is where I told you not all vitamin C is created equal. So one thing that we have in the office that is very different, most of the time when you look at like the 1,000 pack, you know, that you tear open and mix in your water, or you, you know, you have in a powder or even capsules now, it's all ascorbic acid. The problem is with ascorbic acid is that it's not very bioavailable. So again, it's not what you take, it's what you assimilate. It's what you absorb, it's what you digest. And so specifically with the ultra potent C for Metagenics, it's a variety of different I was talking to one of the guys and he said, ultra potent isn't a good name for it. It should be highly bioavailable vitamin C. So, but it talks about it has, in terms of sourcing, there's multiple calcium ascorbate, niacinamide ascorbate, ascorbic acid, sodium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, citrus bioflavonoid complex, potassium ascorbate, tetrasodium, pyrophosphate, like all these different sources of vitamin C. So what it does is it actually helps with the bioavailability of absorption. You want to take 1,000. Let's utilize all of it. So they've actually been scientifically shown to promote natural killer cell activity and white blood cell function. From a white blood cell component, right? Because white blood cells are our immune system. We want to be able to boost those, increase them. It's shown to have 18 to 25% higher uptake in white blood cells than just ascorbic acid alone, right? And the great thing about it is that it's buffered. And so because they're using more buffering abilities, I don't have upset stomach when I take it, right? Because it's an acid, ascorbic acid. So a lot of the times people will have belly aches from it. So here's what I do, right? And I can't tell you what you should do if I haven't seen you as a patient, but here's what I do is that you never really know how much vitamin C your body needs. But the great thing about vitamin C is it's a water soluble vitamin. So your body's going to get rid of whatever it doesn't need. It's kind of the good part. You physically can never overdose on vitamin C. So in the ultra potencies that we have, they're 1,000 milligrams. So it's 1 gram. Right. And so think about 1,000 milligrams where they say the average male should take 90 and female should take 75. This is 1,000. So yes, people think that taking 1,000 is enough, one a day. And really, it's just what your body needs for immune system. So for me, you know, I'll start at 4 and then go up to 5 and then 6 and 7. And once your stool gets loose, then your body has reached a more optimal dosage. Right. So sometimes for people that's 3, sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 12. It's just what your body needs. And so instead of going through really expensive testing, it's just a way that you can keep increasing that. You know, so I think I handed my husband and I 6 yesterday apiece. You know, so, but it's just one, I want to keep promoting all my natural killer cells. I want to increase my white blood cell activity. So ultra potency. The other thing is vitamin D. Vitamin D. My love for vitamin D. Sunshine in a bottle. I mean, if you can go outside, the weather's starting to get a little bit nicer. Go let your body see some sunshine. The adequate amount for a day is to have 80% of your body exposed in midday sunlight for at least 20 to 30 minutes. So we're not quite there yet. But what's interesting is this, the article comes from official publication of the College of Family Physicians of Canada. Super long journal. This is from 2015. What's interesting is, so when we often get blood work done to figure out, and you can actually do a blood spot. We have them in the office. They're vitamin D. It's a finger prick. You can test your vitamin D levels wherever. So we actually do it in the office to see, like, are you high? Are you low? But what was interesting is that typically when we get blood work done, they say, you know, the average is as long as you're over 30, you're good. And this actually comes from Canada. So they see way less sun than we do. And they were talking about how during winter, there was a winter that they had monitored a good majority of people, and they had watched how their levels went from 67. Recent Canadian household study has shown a drop in the average vitamin D levels in Canadians over the past 5 years from 67.7 to 64. With 1/3 of their levels being below 50. And they said that's concerning because as those levels dropped, they were considerably at a higher risk for a number of medical conditions. And we in the United States say, hey, if you're 30, you're good. Don't worry about it. Sometimes they'll say 67 is too high. And Canadians, who see way less sun than we do, are like, no way. They actually use, they talk about the use of vitamin D prophylactically for influenza has shown promise for the prevention of illness and the reduction of secondary asthma in children. Right? Do kids have asthma? Are they vitamin D deficient? Like, maybe that's something you can do preventatively. Now, again, like, take it with a grain of salt. I had asthma. I would never take vitamin D instead of an albuterol inhaler if I was having an asthma attack. But you want to know what? As an adult, because I'm adjusted, I do things differently. I don't have it anymore. Interesting. This is me, though, right? This is not everyone. So they talk about here, in patients who do have influenza, we treat them with the vitamin D hammer. Love this. Vitamin D hammer is what they've coined it. So it is either, they talk about a one-time 50,000 IU dosage. This has to be a vitamin D3. This is not D2, people. If it was prescribed to you, it is likely D2, not D3. Pay attention. Prescriptions are D2, not D3. They're not bioavailable. A Cochrane study actually shows vitamin D2 can decrease your lifespan, which is the opposite of why you would take vitamins, to increase your lifespan. So I said you could do a one-time 50,000 IU, or what they do is... 10,000 IUs three times a day for 2 to 3 days. So for us in our office, ours are 5,000 IU. So it's twice a day, three times a day for 3 days. And that's really, I mean, we do high doses. We do high doses. Vitamin D hammer. Influenza. Virus. Right? A little bit different than corona. It's a virus. Let's do and control the things that we can. Let's focus on how to strengthen the host and not the strength of the virus. When you start changing your mindset in that regard, we look at things differently. Is the pandemic still there? Yes. Is the isolation still there? Yes, absolutely. But what I'm going to do for me and my family, what I'm going to recommend for me and my patients, what we are going to do as a family and as a team in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is we are going to do everything that we can to take away the things that will deplete our body's ability to fight and do everything that we can to increase that ability every single time. Be strong. Be knowledgeable. Get adjusted. It's one of the best things. Guys, we have the power, we have the opportunity. We're going to pick our heads up. And in a while, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see through this hardship in this regard, there is an opportunity somewhere. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on right now the opportunity that I have as an individual to do the things that I can to educate and strengthen. And when we pick our heads up and all has passed in several weeks, we're going to look back on it and say, yep, we were okay. So can't wait till next week where we will not be talking about the coronavirus. But how to strengthen, empower, and do what we can living the five essentials at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.